producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I have on the line with me a guest that I really enjoy chatting to on a regular basis, Peter Bookbart, Chief Market Analyst for the Lindsay Group. Peter, thanks for taking some time and joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Peter, I want to start off with a macro look, kind of a high-level look at what's going on around the world. Before we get into the U.S. specifically, let's talk about China at the tail end of last weekend, going ahead and going with, I guess, even easier moneyier policies, cutting reserve ratios, and also rumors that continue to come out of the ECB talking about, well, more easy money. It seems to be a continuing trend that we're seeing around the world. Where do you think this all leads us?
Central bankers, unfortunately, have felt that the world is on their shoulders and easing policy is the only tool they have in order to encourage growth. The problem is that previous bouts of easy accommodation has led to so much debt buildup that the cost of money is not the determining factor in whether a company wants to borrow or a consumer wants to borrow because they already have too much debt. Now, that is, I think, obvious to many of us, but central banks think that they can continue to alter behavior through cheaper and cheaper money, but it's becoming more and more clear that the evidence is contrary to that and that the cost of money is not an inhibiting factor to current activity. Therefore, by cheapening it even more, won't really move the needle in terms of encouraging growth.
Now, do you think the central banks, they almost just seem to almost have no other options right now? This seems to be their playbook for the last number of years. Make money cheaper and in some cases just print money. That seems to be their only option, isn't it?
Well, that's what they think. But, you know, the other option is just to do nothing. And that would have been an option in itself is doing nothing. That's still a decision. So, yes, it's the we have to do something type mentality that leads to the dramatic easing that we've seen. At some point, the markets will force upon them that we can't handle any more of this. I think we're beginning to reach that point. I think investors have begun to reach the point of reality that excessive easing from here is counterproductive. But yeah, until there's a Paul Volcker type mentality where someone says enough is enough, yeah, this will continue. But like I said, we're already seeing pushback. We're seeing pushback in the market to this excessive easing. Certainly the European bank stocks and investors have pushed back. We saw a big pushback in Japan. So the end game is here for this aggressive easing. It's just going to be a process and playing itself out.
Okay, so talking about what's been happening with the banks, especially over in Europe, we've seen some pretty significant declines, big signs of weakness. A lot of people say, look at the banking sector to foretell if the markets and the economy are going to have a lot of trouble moving forward. The U.S. banks, is it a warning sign for you right now?
Well, I think the U.S. bank action is, to me, more of an income statement issue rather than a balance sheet issue. I think with yield curves continuing to flatten, I mean, the 2s-10 spread is at a fresh almost 7-year low today, that we're just crushing the profitability and earnings power of this business. Now, European banks, there's certain of them that certainly have balance sheet issues, but I think a lot of it is more so income statement issues more than anything else, which is not necessarily good anyway. It's just more damaging for profitability rather than the viability of the banking system.
Now, Peter, one big aspect that all of the central banks seem to be focusing on is trying to get an uptick in inflation. It seems very difficult for Japan to do it, almost impossible for Japan to do it. But we are seeing a bit of an uptick in inflation in the U.S. A couple of the recent stats that have come out have showed a little bit more consumer spending, albeit that might be just a one-off, one-month stat. Do you think that we are going down a road of a slightly increasing inflation?
Yes, I've been saying for God knows how long that we have to separate inflation into two pieces. One is goods and slash commodities, and the other is services. And at least in the U.S., services inflation, ex energy, has been running 2.5 to 3% on a year-over-year basis every month for the past couple of years because of rising rents and healthcare predominantly. So all you need was the commodity price decline to basically end, and which we've seen at least for now, and you were going to start recycling out of headline inflation, the sharp drop in energy prices. And we're seeing that. So in January, headline inflation essentially doubled month over month. And the core rate of inflation, at least in CPI, is above 2% and was an upside surprise in the PCE last week. So at least statistically and on a rate of change basis, the decline in energy prices is now ebbing, and you can say the same for the commodity space in generally, combined with persistent services inflation. And the inflation statistics by the end of the year are going to continue to move up. And we can see at least on the PCE level, which I think is, I think looking at that instead of the CPI is strange, but that will be, in my opinion, north of 2% in the second half of this year. So in the context of everyday hearing about this global deflation story, at least on the services side, it's not the case. And now you've got a headline issue in the second half of the year. Combining that with a below 5% unemployment rate, that regardless of how you want to measure it, regardless if you want to talk about all the people that are on the sidelines, at least for those able-bodied people that want to work, the labor market's tightening, wages are now going higher, and we have what I see as potentially a stagflationary type environment that is beginning to brew. And I say stagflationary instead of stagflation because I don't see inflation exploding, but I do see slow, sluggish, possibly recessionary type growth globally combined with sticky inflation that's going to start heading up. And the whole irony that I find that drives me absolutely up the wall is central bankers, particularly in Europe and Japan, have created an epic bond bubble. And in that context, the last thing they should want right now is higher inflation because they will just blow themselves up. So it is a complete mystery to me why they keep pushing for inflation in the context of interest rates that are trillions of dollars in the negative territory and barely above zero for the balance.
Well, let's talk about the Fed, too, because the Fed has overtly said they're looking at the labor market. They're also looking at inflation, and on record, they are predicting inflation tick up almost in the way it is so far. That does lead them more down the path of a rate increase if you take what they say at face value. I don't think that it will come this month, but the data points and some of the data are lining up for the Fed, isn't it?
Yes. We're talking about Fed officials are obviously very robotic in that they adhere to what their models say, and they also obviously adhere to where the S&P 500 is. But putting that aside, at least with respect to the unemployment rate, again, looking at the U3 rate, and you look at the direction of inflation, I mean, the core PCE is already at their 2016 year-end target, and we only saw January. So statistically speaking, the Fed should raise again. Now, of course, in reality, they most likely will not, and the market certainly doesn't expect it, but the pressure is building that they have met their mandates and they're essentially still stuck at zero, which is an awful position to be in, but a position they put themselves in.
I think the Fed has to be happy moving into this next meeting, and again, I think you and I are both on the same page that we don't think that they will raise this meeting, but I'm looking for some positive statements to come out of the Fed. Peter, we are out of time for this segment, but we are going to have you back on next segment. Let's talk a little commodities. Everyone stick around. Yeah, we're going to be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Attention citizens. This man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent. And in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Peter Buchvar. Peter, we talked a lot about central banks, not only domestically but internationally, last segment. Let's switch it over to commodities, because when you look at gold especially, it's been one of the best performing assets so far in 2016. We've also recently seen a little uptick in the oil price, which to me is surprising simply because of all the news that's out there that just continues to point to negative supply and demand metrics. for oil. But that being said, let's start off by talking about the precious metals. How do you take this move that we've seen so far in 2016?
Well, it's obvious that precious metals love negative interest rates and ever declining real interest rates. And the bull case for gold never really changed over the past 3 years in the bear market. But I think the bullish characteristics that have been ignored are now beginning to come to the surface in light of the ever-growing amount of securities with negative interest rates. And with every central bank continuing to push the limits of monetary policy, I don't see how people don't own gold. And I understand that there's contingency people that have issues with it. It doesn't yield anything. There's no cash flow associated with it. Well, look at it as a form of cash and a form of currency that is actually not costing you anything in terms of negative interest rates or even near zero interest rates.
Do you think that we are in an environment very much how Chris Temple calls it, the odd couple trade, where we can see treasuries and gold going up together almost for the same reason of safe haven demand?
I understand that the buying treasuries, buying bonds generally because of that safe haven. But I think that that's not a long-lasting type of relationship because, as I said earlier, I'm beginning to get a little worried that the inflation numbers are going to start to tick higher and that at least in the U.S., there is very little downside that I see here in the long end of the curve in terms of yield. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing this continued flattening is because the short end is remaining sticky in light of these inflation numbers that we've seen over the past couple of weeks between PCE and CPI. So I see a point where the bond market is not this flight to safety because of the inflation statistics ticking higher, but gold is.
Now, Peter, what do you think about the price of oil? What oil has been doing, moving above $30 a barrel? I'm not on board for a continued rally up. I think we're going to spend some time in this low $30, maybe high 20s range for a while in this year. Where do you stand?
I think the worst of the oil decline is over. The U.S. rig count, the oil rig count, is down 75% from its highs. So there's certainly been, I think, the proper supply response. I just don't know whether it just stays down here and trades between, you know, let's just say 25 and 45, or there's been so much capacity taken out of the market that will not be rushing back if prices go higher that causes more of a V-bottom. I'm more of the camp like you, but similar to you, that it probably stays around these levels for a while. And but I don't see much downside. I mean, oil's already fallen $75, $80 from its highs, recent highs. So to say that, okay, maybe it goes to 20 or 25, yes, on a percentage basis, that means maybe a lot. But on a dollar basis, most of the decline, in my opinion, is over.
Now, Peter, what is your general takeaway for 2016 right now? What are you telling clients? Where do you think they should have their money, if anywhere?
Well, I've been saying for 6 months now the equity market's in a bear market, and I continue to believe that. And I think the rally off the lows of a few weeks ago was just your textbook bear market rally that people should use as a way to lighten up and even short into. And I think that in that kind of environment, it's better to play defense. Now, if you have cash, you can take advantage of – I mean, there's no better time to buy stocks than in bear markets if you have cash because the market's providing you great securities at lower prices. So I would be playing defense in terms of your asset allocation, but have cash to be able to take advantage of lower prices because that's always a better time to be buying stocks. Now, in other areas, obviously I still love the precious metals. I think the bull market is about to get started. And I think also what's somewhat under the radar screen is look what's going on in some of the industrial metals, copper, aluminum, nickel, even steel and coal. We're seeing the Chinese getting very serious about cutting production. It's been in the news for months and months and months. And even over the weekend, there was a story about China becoming more comfortable with laying off over 1 million people in the steel and coal industry. which is telling you that, yeah, the demand side is not there and probably continues to soften, but the supply side is finally responding. So I think we're potentially putting in a real bottom in industrial metals, and I find that the industrial metal stocks are actually very intriguing here, particularly the steel ones that have just gotten decimated. But now you have China literally taking massive amounts of capacity off the market and are willing to fire people in that process.
So do you think that with a rollover in the U.S. equity markets, even going further into a bear market, and then precious metals, bull market, industrial metals possibly making a turn, do you think this will all happen quickly, or is it going to take some time? Is it going to be a gradual continuation or shift?
Well, these things always work in a gradual process, and never is a V-type situation, because it takes a while to convince people of a change in a story, whether it's a bull story going to a bear story or it's a bear story going to a bull story. It's always a process, and that's why these things play out over a multi-year time frame. But I think a lot of the pieces are in place for the process in either direction for each of these asset classes to continue.
Now, how important do you think China is in the whole scheme of things? We know that they're slowing. We see that they're cutting jobs. Will they continue to dominate the headlines?
Well, I think they will dominate, but it won't be the only one. It's too easy to think that China is responsible for all the world's ills. To me, it's central bankers, and it's the Fed that's the head of the line. I mean, at the end of the day, the Fed is still the world's central bank, regardless of what smaller ones do. So the Fed, in my opinion, is still going to be driving the bus in terms of asset markets, just as they have over the past 6 years on the upside.
And I do continue to quote you from, I believe it was over 6 months ago when we chatted about the whole inflation topic, and you said, just wait for resources, energy, all those to bottom out. And right now, as we have seen, it feels like oil bottoming, the precious metals bottoming, even the industrial metals starting to bottom. We are seeing inflation start to tick up, and that falls in line because this change that we're seeing is this transitional 2016, I think, that we will look back to in a few years and see that this is when the trend truly has changed and will start to pick up steam.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pileski of the Pileski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back here to wrap up the show. Corlin here, chatting with Glenn Downs right now. We wanted to give Glenn the last two segments of this particular weekend edition simply because of all of the machinations, for lack of better terms, that's going on in the political climate right now. We're going to talk quite a bit about Donald Trump. We'll start out with the obvious situation, which is basically the hardcore Republicans are very much against Donald Trump. It's being reported on the wire services that they don't even feel he's actually even a Republican. They didn't think he was going to get as far as he did. Well, he's doing pretty damn well, like him or dislike him. And how can they stop Mr. Trump?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me back, Alan Corey. You know, we've gone through Super Tuesday, and I guess as people are listening to this, we'll be on the weekend, and there's more five or six primaries coming up this weekend. So it's a very fluid situation. But one of the things that I like to tell people about my friends there in Washington, the people who are careerists and they're part of the lobbying class, the staffer class, the elected class, the think tank class, is they're some of the least introspective people in the world. And they've been looking and looking and looking to try to figure out why it was that Trump and really Cruz and Carson, it's collectively, these outsiders have been just skunking the political insiders in the early primaries. And they've looked everywhere except the mirror. And the obvious thing is that this is a reaction to them, that people have weighed them in the balance and found them wanting. So they believe in their hearts, and some of the people that I know, they genuinely believe that Donald Trump is, for example, a disaster, and that he will lead the party to defeat in November, and perhaps you might lose the Senate, you might lose the House along with him. And that's because they view the world a certain way, and obviously voters keep going to the polls and saying, exhibiting a different worldview than the worldview that they have. So that's part of the dichotomy here. So right now, I've been on the phone today to various friends on K Street and some that are recently real movement conservatives. And there are all kinds of backroom things going on. We've seen, obviously, Ben Carson's pulling out of the race. There are reports of Mitt Romney potentially jumping back into things and for the final stretch run of the primaries as a way to keep Trump under 50% plus one of the delegates at the convention. And so you'd have a first round where people will be bound by the results in the various primaries and caucuses. But then when you got into second rounds, it becomes a horse trading brokered convention. And at that instance, that's one device by which the establishment would hope to stop Donald Trump, keep him under 50% plus one. And if obviously Jeb Bush couldn't do it, Marco Rubio is doing a very poor job of doing it. The only person that's doing any kind of a job at all of consequence so far against Trump is Ted Cruz. But these people, they don't like Trump at all, but they hate Cruz. I mean, they really dislike Ted Cruz. So this is a real dilemma for them. So they're running out of options, and even to the point where you start having, there are credible reports that people like Karl Rove and others are exploring ways through which they might be able to find a third way. You saw that letter that Senator Ben Sasse of Nevada put out saying he didn't want to be a party of Donald Trump and David Duke, and that's the way the party was going to be, he was out. And, of course, Donald Trump is not David Duke, but that's the rhetoric coming out of Washington. But he opined in his commentary on that, hey, you know, if that's what it turns out to be, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, there might be other options. And so there are money people and political operatives working on the idea of it looks like some sort of a third party run or independent run by somebody running down somewhere between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, which I find ironic given the fact that they were so hell-bent on getting Trump to raise his hand and give loyalty oaths and stuff like that. And just when the loyalty oath is on the other shoe, it doesn't fit so well.
Glenn, I remember that first debate when Trump didn't raise his hand to say that he would not run as an independent. I understand as that progressed through the months, he did say that he would be loyal to the Republican Party and not run as an independent. But if there's all this back room stuff going on to try to keep him out of becoming the Republican nominee, could he still turn and run as an independent then?
Well, yeah, you can, and you've got the different states have different rules about getting on ballot access. And some of the states are pretty easy to do. In other states, it's very difficult to do. It's not something that can't be fixed with enough money. But usually you require lots of signatures and not just any old signatures. You have to have X number of signatures from so many congressional districts and so on and so forth. And it's just designed by the two-party system to keep third parties and independent candidates off the ballot. Some states are very, very difficult for that, but it is possible with organization and money to do that. And interestingly enough, because the Republicans moved their convention up in this cycle. This is much earlier than to have an early July convention is early in the cycle. And the idea was the Republican candidate would have locked up the nomination early and then have a chance to start appealing to, after having had to go to the right, this is the way the establishment thinks, after having gone to the right to secure the Republican nomination, there's time to unify everybody and then move back towards the center, quote unquote, in order to become a general election candidate. And of course, like every other rules change that they've done so far in this cycle, this is another one that's backfiring on them because the nomination convention, GOP convention, will have happened early enough in the cycle for somebody to do go out and try to get ballot access. And there are things like the Constitution Party out there, for example, that I think is on the ballot, got ballot access on about 30 different states right now. that somebody who might be able to, like a Trump, might be able to go out and make an accommodation with somebody like the Constitution Party and be immediately on the ballot in 30 states, and then you go to work going on. That's what the Ross Perot did. Ross Perot was on, when he was on the ballot the first time before the Reform Party was formed, that first time that he ran against Bush and Clinton in 1992, he was on the ballot in a hodgepodge of different ways. So sometimes he was a minor party nominee in some states. He ran as an independent in other states. But he got on the ballot in all 50 states.
The power of the vote really here in terms of the Republican Party is really being taken away from the people, because I would have to say that it's pretty obvious looking at how Donald Trump has done in the primaries thus far that he is clearly the people's choice, not Ted Cruz and not Marco Rubio. So here's a great example of how the electorate simply may not count. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, there's more ways than one the electorate doesn't count. You know, we've talked before on your show about how more and more and more decisions that are of great consequence are being made by actors in the so-called deep state. They're unelected. They're unaccountable. You don't know who they are. In some cases, you do know who they are, like the Federal Reserve governors or somebody like William Dudley, who's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, does open market operations for the Federal Reserve System. One of the most powerful men in the world, really, in the United States. And he was not elected by anybody. He wasn't even confirmed by anybody. He was just somebody who was appointed by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York Board of Directors. Many of our small D democratic institutions today really just have sort of the veneer of democracy right on them. And then when the people don't go along with what the elites want, the elites don't take it so well.
I find that to be more than slightly interesting, to say the least. That was never my vision for America, having said that. We are going to be right back after a quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you, so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders.
IDStronghold.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com, Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
Political discussion with Glenn Downs. Remember, Glenn is the former chief of staff for the congressman from North Carolina. Having said that, we have met some very interesting people, courtesy of Glenn. Glenn is also a very close friend of Ron Paul's and also a very close friend of Jeff Dice. These are two very, very well-connected people in Washington. Interesting election. Are the Republicans, in your opinion, just kind of giving it away to Hillary Clinton? Because I'm pretty sure she will be the nomination. What do you think about that?
Listen, the Republicans, quote unquote, depends on who you mean by that, and that's one of the great. There's a civil war, a very material civil war going on within the Republican Party right now. Mm-hmm. You have within conservatism, you have people who call themselves conservative, but who have very radically different worldviews. These neoconservatives have got very different worldviews than people who are more constitutional conservatives who believe in limited government and engagement with all, entangling alliances with none, those sorts of things. Very different worldviews like that. Others believe, you know, in free markets, whereas other people that call themselves conservative are very happy to have people like the Federal Reserve, you know, deciding the price of money. One half of every transaction and all across the economy. So this is partly a battle to determine what is a conservative. Then there's also a battle of whose interest does this governing Republican Party serve? Does it serve sort of an oligarchical interest on Wall Street, Fortune 500, Washington interests, entrenched bureaucracies, those sorts of things, or more of a grassroots, Tea Party-ish, Main Street sort of approach, and very, very different. So Trump appeals greatly to one of those people, and he's repugnant to another one. Somebody like, you know, John McCain would have the same effect, but precisely the opposite direction. So this is a real civil war, and what's happened is that the establishment, for purposes of this part of the discussion, I mean the Rules Committee of the RNC, which, you know, Reince Priebus and the way the Republican National Committee works, is there really is a committee. And there's the chairman of each of the state Republican parties is on that committee. And then each state elects, and territory, elects a what they call a national committee man and a national committee woman. So three people from each state and territory, and that's the Republican National Committee. And then they elect the chairman, and that's who Reince Priebus is, and that he used to be a state chairman in Wisconsin. So that's where he is, and how he got there and where he came from. And they're staffed by lawyers in Washington, and people, some of which I know, some of which are very nice people, but they everything that brought the Republican Party back into power in 2010 as a reaction to Obama and Pelosi and Barney Frank and all that, all the wave of voters that propelled Republicans back into power, that group of Republican insiders never really understood. And to the extent that they did understand them, they did not like it and do not like them. And now that that group of people seems to be becoming a majority of the Republican electorate, they are really beside themselves. You know, because I understand that when the Republicans were propelled back into the majority, first in the House, then in the Senate, and the people that benefited from that, the marginal voters that did it were kind of grassroots activists, Tea Party, libertarian, anti-establishment people. So that's who put them back in the power, but the people that received the reins of power, people who, by virtue of seniority and position, were people that had been there 20 years, 30 years, like I was, 20 years, 30 years, maybe more, people like John Boehner and others. And so they were propelled back into power by people that they don't like. Well, now those people, the outsiders, have become sort of the majority, it looks like, in these electorates, in the primary electorates at least, and the insiders are beside themselves about how to stop it. But they are trying to, literally right now, trying to figure out what the strategy is. You know, they thought once, you know, they remember when Trump first got into the race, they thought it was great because they thought he was going to be a flash in the pan and he would make Jeb look all the more presidential. Well, of course, that didn't work out as planned. They went all in and jibbered Jeb, and then it was Marco Rubio. And Rubio has not demonstrated at all that he could scratch. And kind of the more he kind of jousts and parries with Trump, it looks like he's punching above his weight. So they have to think of what's the next strategy, and that's why you start to hear these stalking horse rumors about Mitt Romney coming back in for the final stretch run, or John Boehner is allegedly talking up the idea of a Paul Ryan for president run. I don't think Paul Ryan is as excited about that as others. But don't count out the anti-establishment candidates because you know, they're not sitting there like a little fish so they can be gutted. They are strategizing and talking amongst themselves. Listen, it would not surprise me, despite some of the things that you said, if the establishment wing of things starts to make a big move to hotbox somebody to get people to drop out and those sorts of things as a means of having Cruz and Trump split the anti-establishment vote so that you could then have as you go into this whole phase going down the stretch here, it's going to be winner-take-all primaries. So you could have, let's say, Mitt Romney gets into the race, gets 40% of the vote in California, Trump gets, and Cruz gets 60% between them, Romney wins 100% of the California delegates, and that would be the way that they could do things. So you might see if the establishment starts making those kinds of chess moves, I would not be surprised if the way forward for the anti-establishment candidates would be for, say, a Cruz and a Trump, despite some of the things that have been said, to make some accommodation and coalesce around one of them if it gets down to it and sort of get it to just one-on-one anti-establishment versus establishment and roll the dice that way. So this is going to be really interesting to see this play out here.
Glenn, one aspect that I think the parties have to be considering is that this recent Super Tuesday, it was some extremely high voter turnout, which I guess goes hand-in-hand with what you're saying about support growing for this anti-establishment type of angle. Don't you think that if the establishment or the party was to put one establishment type of person against another non-establishment, that they'd be worried that the voter turnout is showing them that people want more of the anti-establishment?
Yeah, you'd think so, but they're blind to the fact that this, that the Trump phenomenon, and to an extent the Cruz and the Carson phenomenons as well, is not so much about Trump. I mean, there's some people that really like Trump. It is a rejection of them, but they are blind, they're willfully blind for some reason to that fact. So they think that when you get into these, you get down the stretch, you get these winner-take-all primaries, most of which I think are closed primaries, that you have to be a registered Republican, not an independent or a Democrat to participate in the primaries. They think that all the Republicans out there think like them. So the idea that when you get on just a registered, nothing but registered Republicans, then they'll vote the way they would vote. The registered Republicans across the country would vote the way that they, their party establishment in Washington, would vote if they were in the booth. I think that's a false assumption, but that's the way they think. So it might be that they got their dream of one-on-one Marco Rubio versus, versus Donald Trump, and then Trump waxes Rubio. That's a real possibility, and then they won't, I don't know what they'll do then, or what if it's Mitt Romney one-on-one versus Donald Trump. And Trump beats Romney. Interesting dynamic.
Well, Glenn, that would be quite a situation that the Republican Party got itself in if Trump does get that type of support and if they can't seem to push him out in one way or another. Glenn, it's always enjoyable. Thank you very much for spending two segments with us. And everybody listening, thank you. We hope you all enjoyed this weekend's edition. Please share with friends, download our podcast. Also visit our website, kereport.com, for daily market commentary. And if anybody is in Toronto, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday at the PDAC conference, drop me a line, flex@kereport.com. Hopefully we can meet up.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter RADIO. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life once.